Hi, I'm Dr. Chloe Carmichael, and thank you so much for joining me for the How to Get Clients module. This is a module I'm really excited about, although I will say that really this entire series is about how to get clients. This entire series is about how to attract, book, and retain high-functioning clients. That's what we're here to do in this video series. But today, I'm just gonna start off with the topic of how to get clients. That's one of the things that many therapists struggle with. And I don't mean to toot my own horn here, that's not my purpose, but I do wanna let everybody know that I have skills at getting clients. The reason I'm telling you this is because I want you to feel comfortable listening to me. I want you to know that I'm a credible source. My practice sees close to 100 clients a week, and I have a waiting list to see myself. And again, as I said in some of the earlier videos that you might have seen, I didn't always know that I could get clients. And so when I first started my practice, I wasn't even sure I would, you know, be able to get enough clients to stay in business. So I know the fear. But what I did is several things that I'm going to share with you today that I think really helped me to book clients. Again, specifically high-functioning clients. I know many of us out there could, you know, attract quite a lot of clients that are, you know, maybe on Medicaid, or we could go into a clinic where, you know, we would be working all day with patients who are inpatients and things like that. But those of us who specifically want to have a private pay practice with professional clients, there really, I think, are specific ways that we go after those clients. Any professional marketer will tell you that you need to know your audience. You need to really think about who it is that you're serving. Okay, so what does all this mean practically? One of the first things that I see therapists do that I think is a real mistake in terms of getting high-functioning clients is they talk all about pathology. You know, maybe they learned a lot of things in graduate school about trauma and heavy diagnoses because that was kind of how they impressed their professors of, you know, I know how to help clients sorting with extreme loss and trauma and profound grief and, you know, crippling anxiety and severe depression, all these things. That's great. And I have those skills too. I trained in psychiatric emergency rooms and inpatient units. It's good that we have those skills if you do have them. Or, you know, I've seen kind of the parallel would be life coaches who, you know, run ads that say, you know, are you terribly stuck? And, you know, all these things. So if we want to attract high functioning clients, we want to talk about the upside, because again, these are already people who have jobs, they have relationships, they're doing pretty well in life. It's just that life has thrown them a curveball, just like maybe you, for example. Maybe you are a very successful person generally who knows how to go after their goals and do well, but the idea of getting clients and starting your own private practice is a little scary for you. So what did you do? You bought this series, good for you. That's a proactive, self-care, high-functioning type of behavior. But you'll notice I don't go about this video by saying, oh, I'm, you know, going for helping, you know, therapists who are stuck and unable. No, we talk about what great, smart, wonderful people you are who have already invested a lot of money in your education, and you just now need this final little step to teach you some business skills. And that feels good, that feels empowering. So we want to take the same attitude with our high-functioning clients that we want to attract. So whether you're talking with somebody at a cocktail party about, you know, yourself and your practice, you're out there networking, or maybe you're writing your ad that you're going to place on Psychology Today, I would discourage you from saying, I can help clients with severe trauma and grief, and I have the training in, you know, this therapy and that therapy. Generally speaking, in my experience, high-functioning people want someone who's going to respect them, who's going to be talking about how things are going to be fine. Tend to want to use language that's going to attract high-functioning clients by empowering them. So rather than speaking to some kind of a deficit, I want to use language that says things like, oh, I recognize, you know, that you are maybe going through a little bit of a first bump in your life. It's not uncommon at all for people that have a high need for achievement. a high success record to suddenly be a little bit surprised when life throws them a little bit of a curveball, and they just need to learn some new skills in order to overcome this challenge and maybe even learn how to enjoy it. Skills like stress management, or even boundary setting, or how to manage perfectionism. When we can frame the challenges of high-functioning clients in these types of terms, it's really helpful. So since we're talking about the way that these challenges are framed by us as, you know, the clinicians, the therapists, the life coaches, whatever, I want to talk about then our elevator pitch. And if you've not heard of an elevator pitch before, then I'm really glad you're here. If you have heard of an elevator pitch, and maybe you even have one, that's great. This is a really good time to work on improving it. So let's think about tailoring our elevator pitch in a way that it's going to attract high-functioning clients. Not only attract them, but book them. When somebody asks you about, you know, what kind of work it is that you do, or, you know, I hear so many therapists want to say, oh, well, you know, I help people that are dealing with depression, or, you know, people that are dealing with severe anxiety, or, you know, people that are dealing with grief, or, you know, victims of trauma, whatever the case may be. And I can tell you as a clinical psychologist that people who identify with those types of labels, that identification with a label in itself can actually be a little bit of a barrier for them. Those of us who have studied a little bit about resiliency know that people who are high functioning tend to be resilient. They don't necessarily, even if it might be true, it's okay. You know, I'm not saying never say the word trauma, never say the word grief, never say the word loss, depression, anxiety. I'm not saying to deny the truth. But I'm saying that when you're talking about getting somebody comfortable with you, I would advise you, generally speaking, if you want high-functioning, successful clients who are looking at you, that you're going to be a source of skills, strengthening, compassion, moving forward, not having them get stuck, which I have so many clients who come to me saying, oh, I'm coming to you because, you know, my last therapist, every time I tried to say that I think I was like better, didn't need to come as much, they were trying to tell me how sick I was, or, you know, how much I needed them or whatever. So we want to stay away from that, because again, high functioning professional people, they're results oriented, they're goal oriented. So you need to have an elevator pitch. An elevator pitch is 60 seconds or less. And you need to be able to rattle it off cold to anybody, anytime, anywhere, just like the way that you could say your multiplication tables in your sleep, or I hope you can. I want you to be able to say your elevator pitch in your sleep. Your elevator pitch, again, should be 60 seconds or less, and I'm quite serious that you should time it. Practice it with a timer. Just like, again, high-functioning clients, you're a high-functioning person. Part of the way that we convey that and attract high-functioning clients is by being organized, cogent, all of these things. So I want you to have a 60-second pitch that describes in upbeat terms what you do. So, you know, I help intelligent, high-functioning clients overcome, you know, personal and professional challenges with skills that they need, you know, to continue moving forward. Those are the types of things that high functioning clients respond to. They're skills based. That's why they're so much fun to work with, at least again for those of us who are taking this video module series because they want, you know, to work with high functioning clients. Not everybody does, and that's fine. I really admire my colleagues out there who enjoy working, you know, in psychiatric emergency rooms and who enjoy working with people that are cognitively or developmentally disabled. I admire that patience, and I think it's a very special strength. But for those of us who specifically do want to build a private practice with high-functioning clients, we need to make sure that our elevator pitch is geared towards that. And again, high-functioning clients, they're the type of people who will do this too. You know, they probably have an elevator pitch of their own. So I also want you to practice your elevator pitch. I want you to choose 5 people and tell it to them. And my guess is that you're going to have moments during the pitch where you say, oh no, I lost what I meant, you know, and that's okay. So please don't worry about it. That actually means you're doing great. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. You're working out the bugs in front of a forgiving audience. And after each time that you tell the person, I want you to ask them to repeat back to you what you've said. And my guess is that you're going to be surprised. You'll be surprised by what parts people don't get, what parts people kind of get wrong, and what parts people just misunderstand, because we have so much training that we're probably throwing around, you know, kind of highfalutin jargon, technical terms that maybe served us well in graduate school because it proved to the professors and everybody else that we read the book and we know what we're talking about. But when we're actually talking to high functioning people who just want to know the bottom line, what can you do for me? What kind of people do you work with? How can this help me? We want to make sure that it's 100% relatable. So please go ahead and create your elevator pitch that says who you are and what you do. Practice it with 5 people. Have them repeat it back to you. And do this every day, you know, for 30 days. Maybe even come on to some of the group calls. Share your pitch with me. Share your pitch with some of the other people. We're all here for you because, again, you didn't necessarily learn this in graduate school. You learned how to do great therapy, but you didn't necessarily learn how to get out there into the world and describe what it is that you do and explain to high-functioning people, again, if indeed that is what you want, why and how they should book with you.
So one additional tip I just wanted to share with you is that I would like you to think about giving some talks. And I know, you know, maybe some of you have heard of this before, the idea that many psychologists, therapists, life coaches, whatever, you know, frankly, financial professionals, lawyers, everybody that has any kind of a private practice that they want to be profitable will do this. They'll go out and they'll give talks, usually for free, that are kind of intended almost as an extended commercial for your practice, even though that's not really what it's billed as. But it's a way for potential clients to get to know you and see a little bit about some of the value that you offer. So the question many people have is they say, well, where could I give a talk? What would I do? So I just wanted to offer a few ideas for that. So go to a church or a synagogue or some other place of worship. You can think about giving a talk there. Those are usually pretty forgiving places, you know, so if you're just getting started or you're shy of public speaking, that's a great place. And, you know, for every place that we talk about, I want you to think about a title that's going to be geared for those places and for the particular types of clients that you want. You know, so with a church, for example, you might give a talk about how spirituality can really help people to relieve stress. As some of you may know, religiosity has actually been shown to be a predictor of resiliency. So you could put together that kind of interesting information that high-functioning people are going to say, wow, really? That's interesting. So let me go to this talk and learn about, you know, how it is that religiosity and that contemplative quiet time in prayer can actually be a stress reliever and help me in my life. And that is through that talk they get to know you. And of course you get the chance as you introduce yourself and as you close your pitch. There I go with the word pitch again. It's not a pitch, it's a talk, but you know in your mind that it's actually really kind of a pitch. But you'll open your talk and close your talk with your elevator pitch in there at some point as well. So that'll give you a chance. Other ways, for example, say that, you know, you just don't want to, you know, you're not involved in any house of worship. What about a museum? So, you know, if you're not a member of an art museum, I highly encourage you to join one, you know, just for a lot of reasons. But high functioning people, again, they tend to have intellectual hobbies. So, you know, whether it's a photography club or an art museum or, you know, book clubs, you know, these types of places tend to attract people that have that extra cognitive energy that high functioning people tend to have. So, you know, if you're a member at an art museum, and if you're not, you should be. That's just my personal opinion, obviously. If you don't like art, that's okay. But I'm just, you know, saying wherever it is that you can think of that you could give a talk, and then, you know, you can give a talk about art as a creative outlet or some of the interesting stories and narratives behind some of the pieces and how they relate to people and relationships and, you know, goals in life. However it is that you can take the audience of people, you know, that go to that art museum or that go to that house of worship or, you know, frankly, even your local library. Again, high-functioning people, generally many of us like to read. So you can go to your library and, you know, give a talk about literature as an escape from everyday issues, or, you know, literature as a way to connect with our aspirational selves. Many of us read even fiction books or biographies about people that we kind of admire. Once you have your elevator pitch, and then you can start listing out, you know, brainstorm a whole list of places that you could potentially give a talk. And, you know, you can be strategic about it too. If you're saying to yourself, well, I'd love to get a talk at an art museum, I'm just not a member at one, you can go ahead and join the art museum, start making friends there, maybe join a committee there. And then once you've been a member for a couple of months and been involved, you can say, by the way, I'd love to give a talk about, you know, XYZ or whatever it is. So you can be strategic about this. A lot of this is coming up too in some later modules, but you know, I would encourage you to keep a list of all the things that we talk about in these video series, as well as anything you think of yourself that you just know that you should be doing. Keep a list, and then go ahead and set a schedule for yourself of your office hours. This is what I did is when I was first starting out, I set a schedule of my office hours. Whether I had a client or not, I was at my office during those hours, and I was either seeing clients or figuring out how to get them. And if you have a nice long list for yourself of a million and one things, you know, that a person could do in order to get clients, and you have your work cut out for you, that's what a good manager does, is they always tell you, like, here's the steps, here's what I want you to do, here's the boxes I want you to check. Now that you want to have your own private practice, you get to do that for yourself / have to do that for yourself. And so we want to make it as the most fun possible. And so in advance, we kind of do a lot of that listing of, like, here's the steps that I need to do. And then that way, when you show up at the office to just do your hours, all you have to do is just, you know, throw a dart at that list. And as long as you're doing something on that list that the dart hits, then you know that you're doing good work to build your private practice. So I just wanted to add this so that once you have your elevator pitch and you've done your homework of repeating it, telling other people, having them tell you back what you said, so you can make sure that it's all coming across the right way, and you practiced it for 30 days and you feel like you're ready to have the rubber really hit the road, go ahead and do some talks. And in the meantime, by the way, you can start arranging these talks and doing some of this background work, because it might take, you know, 30 days or 60 days or whatever to find the right place, make the right relationships, and get on the calendar. But again, talks are a great way to get clients, as long as you have something good to say and you have your elevator pitch and you're ready and able to parlay that talk into clients. So when you do go to that talk, I would encourage you, absolutely make sure that you have a sign up sheet, and you could say, if you've enjoyed this talk, by all means, please share your name and email. I'll put you on my newsletter list. Tell everybody I'm available. You know, you can even go ahead and say no charge. I encourage you to do that, especially if you're just trying to build your practice. Just remind everybody and say no charge. If, you know, you just have a question ever and you just want to follow up with me and ask me any questions, go ahead. I'm here for you. Hand out your business cards. And, you know, they'll probably maybe call you, you know, once and get some, you know, kind of free advice. That's fine. Just talking to you a little bit. And then if they call you again, you know, then you can give them a little bit more advice and then say, you know, I'd love to explore this more with you in sessions at some time. You know, this is the kind of work that we would explore more deeply in session if that's something that interests you. And that's a way that you can kind of say, all right, it was nice to meet you at the talk. I was happy to follow up with you a little bit, and then guide them into how to go ahead and see you more.
So I would just also like to say as well, I want to congratulate you for doing this, because to me, this is actually the mark of a high-functioning person right here. The fact that you know that you invested a lot of time and effort and money and, you know, learning how to do great therapy, and then when it came to setting up a practice, you felt a little bit stumped. So you did the good self-care behavior of reaching out for support to learn some skills, and you weren't afraid to invest a little bit in order to do so. That's exactly the same type of thing that you're trying to inspire in your potential clients. So the more that we can embody the behaviors and model the behaviors that we want our potential clients to take, the better. So I want you to spend a little bit of time thinking about how you are actually a high-functioning person who has invested quite a bit in himself or herself. Notice what some of the status markers are of that, the status of being a high-functioning person. You know, basic things again, like having your own apartment, maybe even owning your own apartment, having obtained advanced education, having good relationships. And then also noticing how having a successful private practice for you will be another status marker of a high functioning person, that you one day will be a therapist who has been able to build a nice high functioning profitable practice for yourself. And please go ahead and just give yourself a pat on the back right now for going ahead and getting started. And there are plenty to learn here. There is plenty to learn here. There's plenty of modules, but I just want to encourage you to take your time with it. The point is not to rush through all of this. So for example, just like if a client came to you and said, I want to take all 10 modules, or I want to take 10 therapy sessions in one day, and I expect I'm just going to learn as much as I would rather than going over 2.5 months. You might say, look, I really congratulate you. I love your enthusiasm, but it's actually going to be better for you if you can pace yourself and take some time to reflect on each session, learn a little bit, put it into practice. I would encourage you to do the same thing with these modules. You can certainly go ahead and learn as much as you want, and you can review the modules as well. So if you just can't help yourself and you have to dive in, that's okay. But I would just encourage you to consider the idea of giving yourself a little bit of time and space and pace, to give yourself the chance to pace yourself. Do some of the homework, do some of the worksheets, just like you would want your clients to do. But either way, I want to thank you so much for joining me on this journey as we are going to build together your profitable practice.